Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hello, JRE listeners and JRE review listeners. I'm joined today with my good buddy Mark.
What up, dude?
What up? Now, we took a bit of a week off just to work through kind of a bit of a transition. Do we want to talk about any of that, Mark?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, we're changing a bit of our format. Obviously, we've just been doing slightly longer form conversations. Mark's joined the team, and we get a bit more of a back and forth. Even though we're good friends, we think pretty differently on a lot of aspects of which I didn't even realize.
Yeah, but I mean, it happens.
Yeah, right.
We're not clones.
I guess
of each other.
Yeah, we don't get into these sorts of, not debates, but I guess topical. All we ever do is talk comedy, so it's cool to get a different side of
women.
Like, our conversations.
yeah, absolutely.
What we're trying to set up is kind of within the reviews is talking about what we pull out of the Joe Rogan Experience, what we learn from it, how we can apply it to our lives. You know, not just like kind of like how fun the guests are and how interesting different people are, though that is very important, but what aspects of why Joe had them on in the first place. Like, what is Joe trying to learn from these people, which is really why he set this stuff up in the first place. And yeah, just kind of go from there. So today, we got a couple of good ones. We've got Steve Rinella and John Norez. Right, they're both outdoorsmen. John Norris on podcast 1314, a bit of a background on him. He is, would you call it a park ranger or fishing? What do they call those fishing game guys?
Fishing game warden, something like that.
There we go, fishing game warden. I was gonna say power ranger, like a fucking idiot.
The power ranger. Well, he's fishing game warden sounds like he runs a prison for marine animals.
Like, yeah, right, game warden, or like a casino, an underground casino.
Right.
Now, all I've ever known of these types of guys is, yeah, they just go around making sure you're not hooking fish, or you know, I don't know, leaving your poops in the wilderness or whatever you can't do out there, cutting trees down. What kind of things did you think people like this would get up to on, like, the national parks?
I bet fire is a big no-no they look for, or controlled fires, you know.
Yeah.
It better be, you know, if there's a no fire sign, especially in California during the fire seasons, you know that's got to be a heavy topic. Nobody smoking, things like that.
Camping in weird places.
Right. You know, hunting without a permit, fishing without a permit, because you have environmental concerns, and they're on top of that. Make sure when you notice nobody's trashing our national parks, things like that. Treating them
dumping
with respect. Yeah. Dumping for sure.
Crap in the river, or like living out there. I kind of always assumed people would just try and live out there. Maybe people on the run, or just like people that were weird.
Sounds great.
Yeah, right.
Not right now, it's hot as fuck, but like,
yeah. But you can camp out in the parks, right? You can get...
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I do it all the time.
Designated spots. But I guess there's just certain spots you can't go. And then also protecting people hiking. You know, making sure that they're hiking in the right places or not getting lost and things like that.
Well, there's also a big concern about, especially like in Yosemite, a big concern about food. Because you have bears that will ruin your shit for some beef jerky. They will destroy your whole fucking car to get a bag of Funyuns, and they don't give a fuck.
What are you supposed to do with that? Put it in the, hang it in the tree?
You put them in a lockbox. They have a box for food, so I guess it stops the scent or something like that.
Yeah, you kind of think that if you're having to put food in a lockbox, aren't you also food?
That is a good point. But I feel as if, like, the smell of cooked bacon or jerky or fish or hot dogs or anything probably has a better smell than, you know, Jeter and Leroy, who have 3-day-old body odor, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they would prefer food that can't run away initially.
Exactly. I mean, I prefer food the same way, so I can relate. I enjoy fishing. I enjoy the piece of fish, but sometimes it's a hell of a lot easier to go to Ralph's and just be like, "Yo, what up, salmon? Thanks."
Yeah.
So
Food Mates. What is that?
Exactly. The
delivery service. Yeah.
Yeah, Postmates. Just have it sent to your house. Billion of them. Yeah, that's what bears need. Bears need their own Postmates, where they can just get shit delivered to them. I'm sure the bears are like, "Oh, Postmates. Why didn't I fucking think of that, dickhead? Oh, because I'm a fucking bear."
You know, every time I've tried to use that, I've been pretty stoned. And then by the time you line it up, all the fees that come in it overwhelm my laziness. And I'm like, just going to get my ass up and go get it. It's like this for delivery, then this for that. And I'm like, I'm not even that lazy. It's like the delivery service is as much as the food.
Absolutely. No, it's highway fucking robbery. When the girlfriend and I want to order pizza, she's like, "Let's just have it delivered." I'm like, we for the price of it getting delivered, we can just pick it up and get an extra pizza. It's stupid. We shouldn't pay for it. I patently fucking refuse to pay for delivery unless I am really feeling lazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And the laziness always comes hand in hand with, like, the weed that I've smoked. And
that is true.
I've done it long enough now to where I can push through any laziness and or paranoia or social anxiety, and I'm like, I'm saving that $7, and I feel like a thrifty shopper.
Yeah, you might as well be on Wall Street now.
That's it. I'm buying Bitcoin.
Oh God. Speaking of and game wardens, you'll be underwater in a week.
That'll be it. Well, and then the marijuana portion of this conversation.
Woo-hoo.
That's exactly what's happened out there with these game wardens is, as John was saying to Joe, it's now just a hunt for these grow operations in California.
Sure.
Which is so crazy. And this has happened for like 15 years. I had no idea about this before I heard this podcast. I mean, I kind of heard that some people, but I just assumed that it was all the legal grow operations, like a bunch of like white kids with dreadlocks, just like sitting in the hills growing some plant. I didn't realize the cartels were coming over here, shipping in these, you know, they would bring in God knows how many miles of piping for irrigation, like really fucking up waterways, using horrendous insecticide compounds,
right,
and causing some major damage. Blew my mind.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about anything, do they?
No. It's just like, hang on a minute. So we've kind of fucked ourselves again. We've made it legal in California to like have the marijuana decriminalized, right, when it was well, not decriminalized. So what did the steps go? When did you get the medical marijuana out here? It's like 2000.
Medical marijuana. Yeah, that's like been at least 10 years, if not more. No, it's been way more now.
Yeah, I thought it was longer. I thought it was like 2000.
Like what were the first ballot initiative to legalize marijuana recreationally was the year Obama was elected, and that failed. I'm pretty sure it was the same year as like gay marriage on there, and then eventually the legislation just approved it. What, 2 years ago? A year ago? 2 years ago? Something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, for another, it was the midterms. Yeah, that they approved it. And that was going to happen eventually anyway. Yeah, so it's only been like a year and a half that it's been recreationally legal, I believe.
Right.
But, it's been medicinally legal. I mean, I think we kind of led, our state led the cause on that one.
I believe so, yeah. I think that's been a long time. And so this goes hand in hand. Like, ever since they've had the medical marijuana available, I think they've decriminalized the grow ops to where they're not felonies. And that's when the cartels were like, this fucking makes perfect sense for us to grow over there.
It does.
And, well, and John was saying that they've seen the same guys upwards of 20 times. So they close an operation down. They arrest everybody. They can't do anything with this. Some of these guys, because they're illegals, they get somehow back in the country again, and they're working on grow sites again because it's what they know how to do well.
Yeah, they'll just take the tunnels that the cartels have, and I mean, there's so many methods of getting into this country. It's kind of, especially with the resources the cartels have. So they just, yeah, they just kick them out, they come right back in and do the same thing. Set up shop in a different spot. It's right, it's exact same fucking thing again.
Unbelievable. Like, that must be so frustrating if you were, like, these people trying to clean up the situation.
Unbelievably so.
Yeah, and it turns right back into it. And then not to mention the fact that they're using compounds like carbon furo, like super toxic insecticides that are completely banned here, but they're like smuggling them in, and then that's the weed that gets sent to the states where you can't get weed yet.
Right.
So who's buying that? You know, it's me and you when we were in high school, man, smoking this shit.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
It's making these kids retarded.
I know. That's why it should be legal across the board, so we can regulate the shit out of it, and make sure it's safe. By the way, and I talk about this in my stand-up act. Like, buying weed out here, it's like going to the Apple store now. Like, it's, I first went to buy weed and I thought it was going to be this seedy, like, little operation. Fuck no. I felt like I was about to buy an iPad and get sold, like, a $2,000 iMac or something. It's ridiculous. It's so nice, and these people are so trained. I'm like, I hope you make a shit ton of money because you know everything about this. Although, they could be making this shit up because I would have no fucking clue. You might. Because you're a biochemist genius, but I'm like,
Dude, I honestly, I don't know shit either when I go in. They're like well-groomed. They're almost like, oh, did you ever, when you were in college, did you ever see like the young marketers? Like in the, you know, master's marketing degree, they would try and like, they would have one of the big halls set up and you could go in and they would like try and pull you into whatever job is going on, and they're wearing like a suit and business casual and they talking to you professionally and using all these like terms of marketing. It's 100% all those people now are just going into selling marijuana.
Absolutely. I mean, they're almost exactly
the same.
It's
like, where's the Rastafarian dude gone? I usually deal with him.
He's surfing now.
Yeah, he's like, he's already retired.
No, they are exactly like you described, except they have like a nose ring or an eyebrow ring, and that's it. That's the difference.
I couldn't tell you shit about all the different strains either, really. I mean, anything beyond sativa, indica, you know, getting the CBD.
Or hybrid.
Yeah, when they start throwing all the different names down, I'm like, hold on a second. Are any of these things related? They're like, have you tried Wudgie, you know, Maui Wowie, Jibby Jumbie,
Johnny Hash?
Yeah. I'm just like, hold on.
Yeah, no, it's, I've never been more in the hands of the person helping me, that it's like going, it's practically like going to the mechanic or the dentist. It's like three things I know nothing about: dental procedures, cars, or weed. I'm like, I don't know. I guess you could fuck me every which way from Sunday right now, because I'm going to have no clue. But at least I'll get stoned at the end of this, as opposed to, you know, car still won't run or my teeth hurt.
Well, and it's, you know what? It's like, even if you go into these places, it's really relatively cheap.
Yeah, no, it is.
Unless
you're on Ventura.
Think about being an alcoholic. You've got to drink some pretty shitty alcohol if you don't have a lot of money in order to stay like hammered all the time. Gets down to that really gross whiskey that they sell at, you know, the corner stores.
Canadian Mist. Something that's like $5.
But, I mean, if you are completely addicted to weed and you need to get really fucking high every day, how much are you spending? Not a great deal.
No, not at all. I mean, you could spend... What did I get? I got an eighth for like $40. That lasted me like 5 months, 6 months, something like that.
You're not smoking enough weed.
I know. I only do it like once, twice a week. I haven't done it at all this week.
But yeah, I mean, you can do it. You can completely make that happen. And more important is, you know, you didn't support any cartels, which is kind of a 100%. Good feeling. Not that should always be like the forefront of your thinking, but I mean, you are a consumer. Your money goes somewhere, and to know that it didn't kill anyone is pretty good.
That's
also
pretty nice.
It's not covered in any compounds that are super toxic and dangerous, and hopefully you're not destroying the environment with it either. I assume most legit grow operations are pretty well done.
Most agriculture should, at least, you know, no pesticides. Well, and especially in California, I mean, everything where we buy, everything's got to be organic and no pesticide free. It has to be, because we
freak out.
Assholes about that. We're just going to freak. I mean, there's just not a market for. It's not like food where, like, if you buy chicken with some hormones in it, you're like, well, you know, but it's $5 less and I got to eat every day. So this is when it's weed, it's like, this is recreational. I'm not going to put more poison in my body than I'm already doing. So,
yeah. So, I mean, let's weigh up what's happening here from like what we've learned. It seems like it costs a lot of money to employ these guys that really don't have the resources. Even though he said he pulled in other units and other teams from different departments, they just don't have the resources to keep up on this. It's dangerous for them. So that costs the taxpayers a lot of money.
Yep.
Then the money that is made by these guys goes back to cartels. So there's no tax money, no tax revenue taken from that at all.
Yep.
And worse is all of that weed, or most of it, gets shipped to states that haven't legalized marijuana.
Yep.
So they're selling it to whoever they sell it to, people that want weed, high school kids, whatever, covered in super toxic, completely banned pesticides.
Yeah.
It's a big fucking problem. Like, we're not just talking about, like, hey, let's legalize weed because it's the right thing to do. Like, this is way bigger than that.
Absolutely. You could say that about any drugs, really. Like, the more we regulate them, the more we subject them to tests and things like that, the more they become a consumer product as opposed to something that you buy under the table from some seedy dude in a back alley.
Sure.
At least the better it's going to be, kind of thing. I mean, not say, you know, but even cocaine, meth, heroin, you have no idea what you're getting. But the minute you become a customer and you can take your business elsewhere, shit gets real. That's even though I'm a fucking liberal, I do appreciate capitalism for that point.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, and, you know, those ones are tougher because there's always the argument to be made that, you know, they can kill you or they can ruin your life. It's still so hard to make that argument these days with somebody about marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you could probably die faster eating a bunch of strawberries.
Probably.
I don't know. I can't be sure.
Twinkies,
but I bet you can eat more marijuana than you can eat strawberries. I'd put money on that.
You'd definitely be funner longer.
There's probably some compound in strawberries that will make
them. I like it better than drinking. No hangover, yeah. Last longer, sleep well. Way better than drinking.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So what's the solution? I mean, they should make a documentary about this, I think. They should really push that. It should be one of those Netflix ones that mm-hmm. gets, you know... And it should be done by... Because remember they've had all those marijuana documentaries on Netflix for a while? And
yeah.
Even as an advocate to it, I would see some of them and I'm like, oh, this is just another stoner made this one. Like, they just weren't
pretty much
all that well-produced. And
yeah.
Some of them were kind of annoying. If it was put together by shit, even people that worked in this field, you know, that were like ex-fish and game people, so it had like more legitimacy, and they weren't even mm-hmm. going about it from the angle of like, it's important to have marijuana legal. They were just like, look at what happens when we don't do it.
Right.
You know, look how fucked up this is.
I think you've probably seen exposés like that on like CNN and things like that, but that's a less sexy... I mean, you and I are interested in that because we like shit like that. But it's kind of a less sexy thing, I guess. You know, the overall socio effects of legalizing marijuana.
Yeah, and anytime you do like a little short, if it's only like 20 minutes and it's a clip within a show that has multiple others, it loses a bit. Like, you just can't go as in-depth. I think it would be great to really be able to expand upon this. I mean, this guy, John Norris, wrote a couple of books. I'd be interested to read those. But with books, it's like people are so lazy. Like, how many people...
Oh, yeah.
It's so much easier to just turn on Netflix and be like, oh, what?
Yep. We just don't have the attention span. And to be perfectly honest, we never had the attention span. We simply just didn't have the content that tapped into that. So we were, you know, when we were younger, you and I had to read books if we wanted, or articles. There was no internet. There was no Netflix and getting on a looking for a documentary or anything. You had to seek out the knowledge, and then you had to spend the time learning it, reading it, and everything like that. But even back then, we would have immediately given that up if there was an easier alternative. Always.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just a more efficient way to... I don't think the knowledge stays in as well. I don't think you pay as much attention to it.
Yeah.
But more people get the message.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you show, like, a video of, like, you know, awful things happening to, it kind of sticks mm-hmm. with you. I mean, the environmental impact of all this is really what first made me think. Like, they're drying up the waterways. They're destroying these natural habitats, polluting areas. I mean, it's a big issue. I mean, that's kind of how they first were figuring out where these people were, because they were like, well, what's happening upstream that's caused all these areas to just kind of dry up?
Yeah. It's horrible, and I don't know if we have a solution for it. Because they just keep doing it, and they keep doing it, especially in the state.
Well,
where
we got to legalize federally. It needs to be legalized.
It does,
you know,
across the board.
What's really nice about the way that this all kind of wraps together is John went on the Meat Eater podcast with Steve Rinella. Steve Rinella mm-hmm. is a guy that does the Meat Eater podcast, produced the Meat Eater show. Great hunting show. You learn a lot. Very, very smart guy if you want to learn anything about hunting. And he describes everything in a kind of Anthony Bourdain way, though it's his own style. Like, he's an excellent narrator, and he brings a lot of feeling and compassion and humanity into this kind of art. Well, not an art, but like what he does, right? Which kind of makes it beautiful. But the idea that he would have a guy on who is, in a sense, like advocating for the legalization of marijuana, but from a different angle. From a, we need to do this to protect the environment.
Yeah.
Is really cool to me. I really like the way that that came about, because initially hunters are just seen as like Republican dudes that just want to shoot animals.
Right.
And it all comes kind of full circle when you put the bigger picture together, which is a pretty beautiful thing.
Absolutely. Well, I like coming at it from it coming at it from that angle too. That's important, and people don't talk about that a lot. People don't talk about that at all, for the most part.
No, that dialogue never really like existed. But when it comes to destroying, I think that's where it resonates with everyone. Is like, you do not fucking destroy the national parks in the United States.
No.
No.
It's one of the last every American can agree pure on things that. We have. Yeah, every American is going to agree on that. It's one of the last pure things we have. It really feels like it's part of our existence as a culture, as our society. It's what you do. You go see these things as a family. You take your kids there. It's our history. You know, we're one of the younger countries in the world. We're definitely the youngest superpower in the world. This is part of our identity. It's important to people. It's important to American culture because we are creating our own. We're not just Irish and German and American and Jewish and African American and any of that. We, you know, that is part of building our own American culture. That's important. And if damaging that is, it needs to be addressed for sure.
It's fucked up. I mean, as an American, which you are, you were born here, you've lived here your whole life.
Yeah.
Do you see the national parks as something that belongs to you?
Yeah, I see it as something that belongs to all of us, yeah. But that's why I loathe this idea of drilling there or opening it up for mining and stuff. It's like it's the last kind of pure thing left in this country. And yeah, I do see it as belonging to us. My mom was insistent on family trips to all of these areas throughout our childhood. Go see the country, go see the national landmarks, see the national parks, see, you know, those wonders, those awe-inspiring moments. And that's what we got, you know? That's part of our identity. It's important. So yeah, I do kind of see it as we own that, because we do. I just have a tiny, tiny sliver of a stake in the national parks as a very low-paying taxpayer.
But it becomes, I do notice it. Like, I moved here when I was 13, so 24 years, 25 years ago. And from one of the first things that I really noticed and paid attention to and have seen ever since is that there is a connection to the outdoors that I didn't see in the same way when I lived in England. And the national parks were a big part of that. Like, many families would go to them. People loved them. Like, I've never heard anyone be like, nah, they're boring. Not into it.
No.
Like, sure, people aren't maybe into camping, but going to these places, it just has a really important kind of aspect to their life. Like, it just means so much to them to go do this.
You and I living in LA, the number of people that hike Runyon Canyon and Griffith and all those other the Palisades, all those other spots, you know, taking selfies, you know, but there is this back to nature quality, you know, the number of people that go to the beach. Everybody wants to get back to nature, especially in this country. I can't speak for others like you can, but there's a back to nature aspect of that I think is really important. I share it. I feel it. I love to go out. I just don't have the time. I love to go to Nashville. Yosemite is one of the most breathtaking experiences of my entire life. I'd love to see Yellowstone. I haven't seen Yellowstone. When I moved out here, I camped cross country. So I got to see the entire southern half of the United States through all these different states, a lot of geography, a lot of different landscapes. It was without a doubt that one of the top moments of my entire life, that trip. Even though I was like stressed out and I got unbelievably sick when I arrived in Los Angeles. I mean, like maybe the sickest I've ever been in my entire life, sleeping like 20 hours a day because it was just a stressful move and everything. But it was still, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I want to do it again. It was amazing just to see all of it. Not even just the landscape, like the landmarks and national parks. Like, my favorite night was when we camped in Amarillo, and it was like late October, so it was starting to get chilly. And there's nothing to see in Amarillo. It's just kind of this dirt town, but it's completely flat and completely clear. And camping that night, it was like you could see half the universe. The stars were out. There was no pollution. There was no light pollution. I've never seen so many stars in my entire life. It was the most tranquil experience I've ever had in my entire life, period. And that was just an amazing moment.
Yeah, I think, like, even when you said you hadn't been to some of the other parks, you just need to know about a few of them. You've been to some areas that really connect you to nature. And then when you hear about something like this, you know, cartel coming in, fucking up all this land, and potentially damaging these other places that you haven't even seen, so you're not really even connected to with a memory, you're just invested in because, hey, I'm an American and I have a stake in this, and this is what we are, and this is what my kids will see. You can fuck right off if you think you're going to damage it. That's that message that needs to get out there.
Well, it's our backyard.
That's what they should call the documentary.
Yeah,
get the fuck out of my backyard.
Our backyard. Yeah, we're the old man on the lawn. But we're telling it. Well, but it's so sad, but it becomes other people's problems when you talk about the drug problem. And it's like, oh, this person had a drug problem, that person. And because you can always put it on, well, that was their choice to do that drug. So it's this idea of personal responsibility. You put the onus on them. Well, they did it. They smoked that. They snorted that. They injected that. That's on them. You can put the responsibility on them. But when they bring it into your backyard and they start destroying the stuff, I mean, at a base level, you're like, you bitches are bringing down our property value. But it's like, this is our stuff. This is our home. And now you're ruining it. Now we go to war, motherfuckers.
Well, I think that was kind of the message that Steve was laying down. Is he's like, look, I'm not saying I'm going to start smoking weed, but if this shit doesn't do anything bad, right? It doesn't necessarily fuck with motivation, because he's talking to a man in front of him, Joe Rogan, who smokes a ton of weed and is saying straight up, listen, I get shit done when I smoke this. Mm-hmm. Then what is the fight? Is there even worth a fight when the alternative is that it's fucking up the national lands, like these huge areas that you love? Like, forget about it. Like, what are we fighting for? Will everyone just stop fucking trying to fight this silly cause and focus on what's actually happening?
Yep. I think at the end of the day, if you really want to address all of that, though, and I think it's an incredibly important point coming out from an environmental standpoint, from a health standpoint, but if you really want to get to the nitty-gritty, figure out how it hurts people's pocketbooks and how stopping it will help people's pocketbooks.
That's a great point.
At the end of the day, it always drives me crazy when any politicians come at anything, like even this message of, you know, let's do it for our kids. Well, you know what? The last generation, that was their message, and all they did with their kids was leave the world way worse than when they found it. Because at the end of the day, kids don't pay my bills. Shit, I got to do what's easy for me right now. So if you can start selling it in terms of like pocketbook issues, you can sell anything on that. It's like, getting rid of this will make you richer, keeping it will make you poorer. Boom, that's how you do it. So if you can figure out a way to convince people that just the existence of these cartels doing this bullshit is ruining, you know, their pocketbook, even to the tune of just a couple of bucks, that'll motivate it. I mean, that's the most motivating thing, because people want life to be just a little bit easier.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time. It seems like everything is leaning that way. Like, there's just no real reason. Like, we're not even sitting back on a moral issue right now. We're just like, this is a major issue. You know, I mean, it takes something like gay marriage, right? You're in a sense, by not allowing it, you are really persecuting the people that couldn't do it and showing them that they were less than regular citizens, and it's, you know,
exactly,
it's just like a non-feeling shitty stance to take, bolstered by religious thought or whatever, right?
Right.
So that was kind of the argument, but it never affected anyone's pocketbooks. They didn't legalize it because of a pocketbook issue.
No, that's true. It was just like,
it took time, and it was the wrong thing, the wrong stance to take, and everyone slowly started to agree.
100%.
But this one hits on almost every type of point.
It really does. It does. You're right.
How long do you think we got before it's federally legal? What if you had to throw? If I gave you $50,000, and you got to match. You got 10-year window. 10-year window.
So, like, if I get it within
2035 they legalize it, and you say 2026, then you just made it by 9 years. Like, you were right there.
Yeah, I would definitely. I think 20 years. It's probably overshooting it a little bit to be safe. I think a generation. I think the more this next generation comes to voting age, because, I mean, you just, especially now that with so many states legalizing it, it's just, it's so easy to get it. It's just going to be a waste of money. It's going to be a waste of resources. I feel like eventually a president's going to come in, and it may very well be the next one. It's going to instruct the DOJ to lift the federal ban on, or to quit classifying marijuana as a type 1 controlled substance. And I think at that point, that'll begin the windfall. And you look at Colorado, who's done so well financially in this. I mean, they've made so much money off of this. I think I read billions. I could be wrong, so don't quote me. Don't at me, guys. But I mean, I feel like they've made just unbelievable gains taxing the shit out of this. And there's some states that could really goddamn use that revenue. Alabama, cough, cough. And yeah. where I went to college, Georgia, cough, cough. And plus they could really stand to just chill the fuck out every now and then. But I feel like it's bound to happen eventually. And I would say within 20 years, but probably sooner, probably more like 10. What do you think?
Well, it has happened really quickly. I mean, let's just go back to 2010. You know, I was living in Chicago. Just to think that, like, it would be this readily available, even then, was like, no. Like, I obviously knew that I think a few states had the medical. California had had it for about 10 years then, but it just seemed like,
right,
you know, states were coming in and out. Like, it would get legalized, then it would get banned, then it would get, and it wasn't like a lot of states thought they were getting it anytime soon, and there was always so much pushback that I almost felt like it was a bit of a fad that it even was medically available. I felt like that was moving. It wasn't like there wasn't momentum. It wasn't like the ball was rolling and now it can't be stopped. Now it feels like it just can't be stopped.
It can't be. Well, but, no. You know, I know you didn't feel the momentum, but the day it became legal medicinally, that was the beginning of the end for opposition, because it was so easy. It was so easy to go get weed. All you have to do is, like, oh, my ankle hurts. And there was some doctor out there that's going to write you a prescription for weed as a painkiller. I mean, I'm to the point now, I have to actively remember that it's not legal everywhere, because it's just, you and I think both take it for granted that it's there. And it's so weird. Like, I wanted to send my mom home with her last time she visited, because of her, like, chronic pain in her back and stuff like that. And I was like, oh shit, I can't do that, because you can't bring that shit on a plane. That's a interstate drug trafficking charge. But it's just so weird that. And I feel like the rest of the country is going to join us soon.
Yeah.
I
think it's going to be wild when the people you don't expect to be doing it, like, it'd be later in life Republicans that have always typically been against it, now given the option to, like, okay, you've got cancer, so you can take all these different medications, or you can just be smoking weed, or a CBD combo of something, and all of a sudden that's what they're doing. Like, once this kind of shift, or just one of them just coming out and being like, you know, to be honest, that's just how I roll now. I don't want to be an alcoholic, but I like to get a bit fucked up, so this is what I'm into. And then the stigma The stigma is just going to kind of like disappear. You know,
it will. It's starting to already. You're always going to have your backward areas, like your Alabamas, your Mississippis, your Arkansas's. I can say that because I'm from that area, so I know what it's like. I say it with authority. You know, and they stand on their moral high horse, so they're going to be the last ones to, you know, come over to the other side. But it's going to happen eventually because the tide is turning.
Mm.
And that's, well, that's how it is.
It really, as always, just comes to things like a lack of understanding, and not for me to sit here and be like, "Oh, I understand it all." I don't either. But you know, take how Steve Rinella started the podcast out when he was talking to Joe about animal lovers that get mad at him for being a hunter. But then it's like, right, what do most people know about animals, and where do most of the animal lovers come from? Well, a lot of them come from like New York and California, right? Mm-hmm. Liberal areas, city spots, L.A., New York City. Then they don't even see real animals.
No.
They don't know what they are. They think they're cats
pictures.
And dogs.
They see them on Instagram. They're cute. Yeah, they
Disney
love them
movies.
Because they're cute.
They're, yep. And a lot of them are. I love animals. They're very cute. But a lot of them will look at you like they'll fucking kill you as well.
They will kill you. Unless they're domesticated, most of those fuckers will go after your ass.
That is kind of a weird thing about cats and dogs, too, is like the cats and dogs that you will have in your house are adorable. They're just squishy little pillows, and we love them. But you take almost any wild cat, and I would say wild cat over wild dog. Like, when I lived in Sri Lanka, we would go on these, like, hiking excursions, and a lot of street dogs would follow us along. And you know what they reminded me of is they kind of looked like the dog on The Simpsons. I know he was supposed to be a greyhound, but they were kind of like small looking greyhounds. That's what like the mongrel, feral dogs kind of just ended up looking like. They don't go back into being wolves. They just turn into like the thing from, you know, I guess because they're slim, they're fast, you know, they're agile. They can hunt or like go through the trash or whatever they ate. It's just what they look like. They weren't that scary. They wouldn't really growl at you. They would just kind of run around, do a thing. Like, you wouldn't want to fuck with them either, you know, because they're used to like fighting with other dogs. They lived on the streets. But when it comes to like a real feral cat or a different cat species, you don't. Have you ever heard one of those things kind of scowl and make that cat noise?
A chill down your spine, dude.
Fucking terrifying.
I'll just hear my regular cat growl, and I'm like, ooh, I'll get hurt if I go near that one right now. Like, my tiny little 8-pound cat, you know him. He'll jump on your lap and love you to death, but if he growls and he wants to swipe at you, he's got talons, man. He will fuck your shit up. But like, he can't kill you, but he can make you hurt.
Uh-huh.
And he's the littlest of the species.
Yeah.
Imagine coming in contact with like a lynx, a bobcat, a cougar. Shit. That, like, they'll probably run away because they don't want to get involved, but they can hurt. But if you fucked with them, they could kill you.
Yeah. And we have mountain lions out here.
Yeah.
Like,
there's
people
no
forget
conglomeration
that. You just never see them.
Yeah, there's no conglomeration of mountain lions living in the city going, you know what, guys, we really shouldn't hurt humans because they're animals too. They're going, you see one, kill one. We hungry.
And what do you think about the whole conversation that often comes up, like we're encroaching on their space?
Well, we are. I mean...
But I mean, are we just the fucking biggest, strongest, smartest? Like, what is... To think that we would be like, oh, there's a lot of deer over there, so we can't build a thing. And I'm not saying, obviously, I love national parks. I love a lot of things. I'm not saying, like, just coming in and building things. But if you go back to basics, like, it's you, it's your family, it's, like, 1760, and you're just trying to find the best spot of land for you and your family to set up your, like, cabin in old-timey America... You're not going to not choose an area near a river because you're worried about what, like, animal...
True, but that But in 1760, the ecological repercussions of building your log cabin near a river aren't nearly as consequential as they are now when you build a mill or a plant, or you build an entire city in forested area where you've basically just dislocated or whatever the word is. You've relocated, you know, hundreds of species that have lived in their natural habitat for years. That's the thing. Humans, we don't have any natural population control. Like, we have so far evolved beyond disease and all other forms of things that kill us, whether it's, you know, things that are unsafe. All right, well, we got seat belts. You know, infections, we got penicillin. Drowning, we got fucking, you know, life vests. I mean, anything you can think of, we have so far evolved beyond that. So, like, they introduced wolves to Yellowstone, and it completely changed the habitat for the better because of all the different things they did. They were able to, you know, trim down on, like, the deer population, which was running amok and eating all the plants. And that was a natural equilibrium that was created by introducing this pack of wolves that naturally lived there beforehand anyway. They created a perfect equilibrium. There is no equilibrium where humans go. We move in, we infestate, we take over. We leave the scraps for the animals. I mean, that's kind of what happens. We don't live in equilibrium like we used to. We build skyscrapers, not log cabins. So in that regard, we are encroaching on their space. At the same time, you're going to ask me to move out of my apartment in California because I want a red squirrel to have a nicer tree? I'm probably not going to do that. So I don't want to be a hypocrite and be like, we should stop, because we're doing this shit, but at the same time, yeah, we are moving in on them, you know what I mean?
Well, you make a great point, and I do agree with you on that. Like, before we move into an area, if we can, we should understand at least what's going on in there and what our impact will be, for sure.
Right.
But then once we're in an area, if someone's like, there's a mountain lion on your street, well, or there's some bears, I'm like, sorry, guys. Joe says it, I say it. I'm on Team Human. We need to fucking just move those bears, please. You know? Because I don't want to tackle them. And I definitely don't want my girlfriend or kids or any smaller things to have to tackle that.
No. I mean, at the end of the day, it's true. We're Team Human. We're not gonna not live. Nobody's going to give up their life so that bears can sleep in hibernation a little more soundly or anything else. I wish we could, and I wish there was a better way of doing all of this, but the fact of the matter is there isn't right now, and we keep growing. I mean, and we're not going to kill people, and we keep evolving past a lot of the checks and balances on, you know, human population. That's just how it is.
When you were talking about the reintroduction of the wolves in, was it Yellowstone?
Yellowstone, uh-huh.
Did you see anything on that? What did you read or learn about that?
It was an article, I think it was a National Geographic article I read about like 2 years ago, maybe longer, about how just introducing a small pack of wolves changed everything about Yellowstone, even on an ecological basis, because of the equilibrium of how animals existed in that, with it having a natural predator that cut down on a certain population. It even changed the flow of the water, like the flow of the river. I'll try and find it. Maybe I can bring it up.
No, you don't need to. I'm glad that you bring this up because I recently watched a YouTube video about this, and it's just called How Wolves Change the River, and it's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I mean, it has like 41 million views. So if anyone's listening, I'm going to put the link in the bio or the description for this podcast. It's only like 4 minutes long, but it's really fascinating because there's such a positive change to the overall arc of what was done, that in the same way you think about what Steve Rinella and John is talking about with the cartel stuff and how they are diverting the water and poisoning the land. It's like the opposite is also true. Like just as easily is this balance of nature can restore things. Again, well, I guess humans can fuck it up. But it can happen real quick. So I'll put that link in there for anybody that wants to watch it. And as always, message us on Instagram.
Yeah, please.
At Joe Rogan Experience Review Instagram. And then same logo. So just let us know what you think about it, because that's pretty cool. But it was wild, though, how just getting the wolves back in did that.
Yeah. It's fascinating. I'd like to add a caveat to the whole team human thing, because I am team human. But I'm not team pollute the fucking waters and pollute the area around it and make and warm the goddamn planet because we're just fucking lazy. That I'm not on team, because there's a lot of things we can do that can preserve habitats that we haven't touched. You know, ain't nobody moving to the North Pole to build a log cabin. Nobody wants to do that shit, yet a lot of the effects of mankind are wreaking havoc on these natural habitats and these species that we haven't touched in terms of physical contact, but because of what we've done to the planet, it's greatly affecting them, and that bothers me. And we don't have to do all that shit. We can still try to find some type of coexistence where we're not destroying everything.
I think if anybody is not like hearing that and assuming you're taking a heavy political viewpoint, I think that everybody agrees on that too. Like to basics. Listen, we're pollute. Like you want this person to pour this bucket of oil in that stream where you fish. No one's gonna say no. That's fine because humans don't.
Right. Exactly.
There's no impact. You know, but it's only when you get broader, when you're like, we're making the world hotter, they're like, no way, bullshit. You're like, okay.
It's too abstract. It's really difficult to make people care about something that is happening elsewhere. That's why you always got to go back to the economics of it. It's hotter. So you know what? Your air conditioning is going to run longer. You know what that's going to mean? Higher power bills. Let's stop doing this shit because we don't want higher power bills. There you go. There's an argument.
Do you think just make the argument on the much smaller scale? Like only focus on like the end, like what you can see. If it's too abstract to say we're making the world hotter, just be like, well, that factory over there is polluting your kids. Yeah. And just focus on that dialogue. Because that is what we know.
All politics is local.
Yeah, we all agree.
All politics is local. Yeah, it should be all agreeable. It drives me crazy when politicians talk about, you know, climate change, the world getting hotter, sea levels rising, all this. It's all abstract. Or the solutions. And the solutions always seem to come from a moral answer, but they can never really address, or they never talk about cost, when at the end of the day, if you can really get around it, you're going to make life easier for people. Like, the more we have solar and wind, the cheaper that shit is. Because once you pay for it to be installed, it's done. It's free energy. Wind is free. The sun is free. And I love when people say, what about when it's cloudy? I'm like, you ever gotten a sunburn when it's cloudy? Turns out UV radiation
every
don't give
fucking
a fuck.
Day.
Yeah, you do.
Try being ginger. You know how white I am.
I do.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah, it's economically, it's feasible if you can invest in those things. Like I got.
Dude,
I'm
pretty
car.
Sure if we made the solar panels efficient enough, and then look, plants grow in England. So don't tell me there's not enough fucking sunlight. Massive oak trees grow in England.
Tons.
They don't grow because
of
magic. They just have efficient leaves. That's efficient solar panels.
It's true.
Yeah, we could totally do it. All right, let's switch it from environmentalism to have you seen Dave Chappelle's new stand-up?
No, and I've been waiting. I'm going to watch it Monday with some weed and my girl, and I can't wait.
I love it. I watched
I've been too
snippets
busy this week,
because I can't not. Like, I can I can not watch anyone else's stand-up for a long time. I promise you. I don't know why. You know, when I'm, like, writing comedy or thinking about it, it's almost like I'm a little nervous to watch other people's. Chappelle's, like, I can't stay away. And the controversy that's popping up, I can't wait to hear the magic. So,
our
next episode here, we're going to jump into... Oh, wait, you said you're going to watch it Monday?
Yeah, I was going to watch it Monday.
All right, perfect. We'll do it. We'll talk about it then next Wednesday.
Should we do a special episode? A day
review? Yeah, yeah. Let's do 100%. Look, he just went on tour with Joe. Like, the that he's talking about is resonate. Let's do a Chappelle episode. And trust me, I am not reviewing the master of comedy stand-up. It's not happening.
Oh, hell no.
No way. No way.
My review is glowing across the
board. I would close this. I would smash this computer that I'm recording on before I would ever even attempt to insult that genius. But yeah, we get into some of the topics that he talked about, why they could be controversial, why they're important that he brought it up. And I haven't even seen it, and I know all those things happened. You know?
Oh, yeah.
What he's doing has been amazing since he's come back. And just from what I'm hearing from the sidelines, I know that this special is going to be the same thing. And I want to talk about why it's so important to come in and say to this, like, you know, this culture of...
Yeah.
Of, you know... What do they call it?
I read this awesome tweet today, and I haven't even watched it yet, but I thought... But the tweet was so fantastic, so I'm going to read it out right now. It's a guy named Curtis Cook. It's Curtis. It's at underscore Curtis Cook, if you want to look it up yourself. And he says, Dave Chappelle is my kind of idol because it's always been my goal to walk away from $50 million after realizing audiences are laughing in a way that belittles the struggle of my people, then returned a decade later to make that money back by belittling the struggle of others.
Oh, genius.
I
kind of
fucking love it.
God damn. Unbelievable.
Yep.
Yeah. That's fucking great. That is so clever and so good. He's ridiculous, man. This is how good he is. So we're gonna do a whole episode to him next Wednesday, and then we'll catch up on episodes from there. We got a new logo coming, a new design. Gonna be working with Mark's brother, who's a bit of a genius on this stuff. Thank God we know some people that are actually smart and talented. And you're performing tonight, right? You're up at the comedy store.
7 o'clock.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, I'll probably post this too late for anybody to be able to make their move, but at least that's happening.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. I'll be up there, brother. We're coming up.
Sweet. Love it.
Yep.
Going to be sold out anyway, so we'll be good.
Yeah, it always is, man. That comedy store is just crushing it up there.
Crushing.
Love that.
Crushing.
All right. Good right, stuff baby. As good always. Show. Thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate you putting up with us as always. And welcome back, Mark. We're back into it. We took a week off. We needed it.
Love it.
All right, brother. Take it easy.
Later, guys.
Bye.